This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Steve Milanka. Steve is with My Job Depends on Agriculture, and it's based in California. That conversation in just a moment. Galen Morgan is Director of Ag and Environmental Research, Cotton Incorporated, on nutrients.
You know, even if that there's soil nitrates there, typically, that crop does need a little bit of nitrogen fertilizer kind of to get kicked off to make sure it gets off to a strong start, along with, you know, phosphorus as well and any other nutrients that may be limiting. But just making sure that at least there are some nutrients there in the beginning so that those small seedlings, you know, can develop a good root system and go down into the soil and pull up and find and pull up that nitrogen that's, you know, down there from years past.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Steve Milanka. Steve is co-founder of My Job Depends on Ag. Steve, first off, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Tony. Thank you.
And now I guess this is a good time to ask the most obvious question. Your co-founder of My Job Depends on Ag, but what is My Job Depends on Ag?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because sometimes people know all about us and there's others that don't know anything about what we've been trying to do here since 2015 at all. And if I can just be as brief as I can, I've been working in the ag business my whole career and working in Central California. Selling farm equipment to farmers with no water was a pretty difficult task. And we started to do some awareness events and projects to let people know the importance of water and how many jobs depend on ag in California, especially in western Fresno County, where I grew up in a small town called Faribault. And we first, with a friend of mine that sadly lost his farm due to no water, him and I were watching another friend harvest some alfalfa, and we came up with a clever idea to bring all the equipment in the alfalfa field at the same time that it takes to make a bale. And we got some good participation, and my gosh, the California Water Coalition made a YouTube video out of it. It's called Farm Water and the Business Crisis. It was done back in 2013 in a way to bring more awareness for us. In 2015, I made a decal. I used the state of California to bring everybody in California together. It's a unity attempt. And I simply, from this California Water Coalition video, the phrase, My Job Depends on Ag, came to life. And I took that slogan and made a California decal on it. Eric Wilson, a good friend, longtime friend of mine, created a Facebook page, and it took off. We've sold over 100,000 of these decals. We have them in California alone. We do have them for all 50 states. And we're taking all the money that we've raised, and we're giving it back to kids majoring in ag in the form of $500 scholarships. And we've done that since the beginning, and Eric and I, I've been very proud of what that's been able to accomplish. From that, we've grown into now we have our third season. It's begun on our PBS affiliate here in Central California. It's called valleypbs.org. And we have a TV series called American Grown, My Job Depends on Ag. And it simply takes the stories from our Facebook page onto the television to try to show people that aren't familiar with ag what our world's about. And we're very proud of that. Jeff Fiello has done a very good job putting that together. And talking to Pam the other day, I was telling her about how we appreciate people selling decals from all over the country. And I told Pam, I said, listen, this is a grassroots thing. This is just, there's no office, there's no staff. We have some volunteers that do what we can to get this done. And we do have a website for these decals, myjobdependsonagstore.com. And I told Pam, if a particular area in Central Texas takes this on and sells our Texas decal in big numbers, that's going to generate some cash back to us. And we offer this to everybody. If we see where this money's going and they have a place for it in their local area for the kids in their ag schools or FFAs or 4-H's or nonprofits, we can give this money to them. It's no, it wouldn't be fair for us to spend the money we get from Texas here in California and all the kids here. So that's open to every state in the union. And we've been very blessed on a lot of people complimenting how well this grassroots effort has been, Tony. It's truly been a fun adventure.
Well, and you mentioned there in California some of the water woes that you have. For those who don't understand California agriculture, it's immense. And when I say it's immense, it's the top producing state for ag out of the 50 states. But at the same time, you're just miles away from population centers that seem so far removed from ag, who don't really comprehend what's happening there. And we see really that across the nation. When we start talking about other states looking at possibly joining this effort, again, could be any state in the country, right?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. And this is how people put a different spin on what we do out here. And somebody sent me a YouTube video from Bill Mayer, a night show host guy that just slammed the heck out of almonds grown in California when it is absolutely a great non-perishable protein product and could be delivered to people that are hungry all over the world. But in any case, he blasted California Ag for using 80% of the water available in California. Now, I want to explain that. Here's the real spin on that, Tony. The good Lord every year, most years, gives us a wonderful snowpack in the Sierra Nevadas along the eastern fringe of our entire state. And this snowpack melts every spring like it has since the beginning of time. And it comes down through the mountains, down into the major rivers at the bottom of the valley where this ag is. And it goes out the San Francisco Bay to the ocean. 85 to 90% of all that water the good Lord gives us is gone. That only leaves 10%, we'll say. You split that 10 in half, 5% goes to the fish and game. All the wildlife refuges get all their water as they should. That leaves 5%. California Ag uses 80% of 5%. We've been screaming about just storing some more water. 150 years ago, this is how I try to explain it. 150 years ago in California, when there were no dams and all the snow melted every summer and went out to the ocean, it has done it since the beginning of time. And that was okay because there was nobody here. There's 40 million people here. The snow is in the northern third of the state. Ag's in the center of the state. There's 40 million people in the southern part of the state. You got to move the water to the people. And if we saved another 10% and left 80% for our wildlife, our rivers, our fish, and so forth, we'd have plenty of water for everybody. Some years, there's 4 million acre feet of water melted out of the mountains. Some years, like right now, it's only 400,000 acre feet. And it varies, and it always has. So if we can capture that water during the wet years, we got enough water for everybody. That's the real story.
You bring up a great point here, and that's the educational side. We have about 2 minutes left, and we'll come back and hit the decal sales here again in just a moment. But with a couple of minutes left, telling the story of ag, especially to those who are uninformed, whether it's a TV show host or just somebody we meet on the street, how do we tell the story of ag to somebody who doesn't know?
Great question. I would say, to be an advocate of agriculture, you could say to that person, you can ask them one thing and tell them another, and ask them if they've ever tried to grow their own food. And then I would say to them that we feed 300 million people three times a day in the USA. A lot of it comes from Central California. And because your food is so readily available and cheap, you don't have to think about it. It gives you a chance to go out and pursue a career of a lifetime, working in All Ag Radio Network, working at John Deere. You don't have to worry about your food. It's there. It may not be there pretty soon. And if that happens, we got problems.
Let's circle back around. We started by introducing you as the co-founder of My Job Depends on Ag. And again, how the decal of My Job Depends on Ag, how it goes back and benefits the next generation. So if we'd like to learn more about My Job Depends on Ag, the decals, and just learn more about the organization, how can we do that?
We have Valley PBS has an app, and they have all of our episodes of My American Grown, My Job Depends on Ag. We have a American Grown, My Job Depends on Ag also has a YouTube page. And I think for our source of what we do and what we're trying to say, that would be the best. There's a lot of different things on the web that you can find of what we've done. But primarily it's all about awareness and letting people know that where their food comes from. It does come from a grocery store, but it comes from someplace else before that.
Steve Milanka is co-founder of My Job Depends on Ag. Again, you can find out more on the Facebook page, My Job Depends on Ag. Great place to go. This is the Agribusiness Report.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate Digital Agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest, Steve Milanka, with My Job Depends on Ag.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
The Manitou New Ag MLT telehandlers have been tailor-made to handle the rigors of farm life. From the Agile 600 series to the Hefty 900 series, they are all named one of the most comfortable machines on the market, complete with interchangeable attachments, complete cab access, and total visibility. Manitou is the smart choice for your farm. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Learn more about My Job Depends on Ag. Do a Facebook search. My job depends on ag.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report.
The numbers of chickens and turkeys having to be destroyed because of avian influenza are mounting up, but Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack told reporters Tuesday, so far at least, this current outbreak not as severe as the one in 2015, and the reasons...
In terms of the nature of the outbreaks, the size of the operations that have been impacted, the number of states that are dealing with backyard operations as opposed to commercial-sized operations would strongly suggest that when this is all said and done, it's going to be significantly less than what we experienced in 2014-15. And certainly that's true so long as folks do continue to be very vigilant with their biosecurity.
Also, the trade impacts this time less severe, with other countries only restricting imports of U.S. poultry from certain counties or states. No outright bans on all U.S. poultry by any country, at least so far. Gary Crawford, Washington.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. U.S. beef exports posting another strong performance in February. That's according to data released by USDA and compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation. It's been led by excellent value growth in key Asian and Latin American markets. Pork exports trending lower year over year as larger shipments to Mexico and Japan did not offset the continued decline in demand from China and Hong Kong. What about lamb exports? They continue to gain momentum, reaching the highest monthly value since 2014. Now, the beef export value approaches $2 billion after just 2 months, exports totaling over 108,000 metric tons in February, up 5% from a year ago, value climbing 35% to $904.4 million. Concerns about nitrogen fertilizers will continue as the Russian-Ukraine war shocks the natural gas and fertilizer markets. Pricing of fertilizer manufacturers will continue to come under scrutiny. That's according to a recent FarmDoc article from the University of Illinois. While fertilizer manufacturers likely will gain financially from current market conditions, those companies did not create the situation that led to current conditions. COVID and the pandemic response have pressured supply chains and changed the nature of input demand. Inflation, according to the FarmDoc article, has also risen, with federal and monetary policy doing little to limit that inflation. And irrigated cropping patterns have shifted significantly in the U.S. during the past 50 years. According to the Economic Research Service, in 1964, alfalfa hay and cotton were the most widely irrigated crops. But acreage under those crops has stayed relatively constant for the last 50 years. In the meantime, irrigated acres planted in corn for grain and soybeans have increased substantially. In 1964, farmers planted less than 2 million acres of irrigated land in corn for grain. By 2017, that acreage grew to more than 12 million acres, making corn for grain the most commonly irrigated crop. Over the same period, irrigated acreage planted in soybeans also increasing substantially from fewer than a million acres to nearly 10 million acres 50 years later. Well, USDA out on Friday with their World Ag Supply Demand Estimates, or WASD report. Outlook for U.S. wheat: stable supplies, lower domestic use, reduced exports, and higher ending stocks. Projected season average farm price, according to USDA, dime higher, $7.60 a bushel. And this would be the highest season average farm price since 2012-2013. Corn outlook is for offsetting changes to feed and residual use and corn for ethanol production. The price has been raised 15 cents by USDA to $5.80 per bushel. For oil seeds, primarily soybean, exports raised 25 million bushels, but the number for the projected price remains the same, $13.25 per bushel. And for cotton, supply and demand forecast unchanged, though the price is up 1 cent, 91 cents per pound. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.